Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast. We're going to get going here. We're going to be talking about a lot of things on onboarding, how you get down and dirty when salespeople actually come on and you want to get them ramped as quick as you can. Now, to do that, we got a gentleman that I met actually at the Sales Development Conference a little while back. Really cool conference. I was impressed with this gentleman, great background. I think the company's doing some fun stuff. So Ryan Reisert will be joining us. Ryan, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today, Gabe.
Yeah, this is fun, man. I'm excited to kind of go through the talk track. Now, Ryan is, again, currently with Sales Bootcamp and is the one of the lead instructors over there. But Ryan, tell us just a little bit about yourself and some of the things you guys do over there at Sales Bootcamp.
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career a little bit different than most, I think, getting into sales. I actually studied math and engineering in college and was going to be a teacher. But I graduated in 2008, which is a pretty rough time to graduate. And when I went back home to do my student teaching, decided that perhaps that wasn't going to be the right career for me. And I packed my stuff up and moved to San Francisco, where I had a few friends in college that had some internships. Fell in love with this concept of being a successful salesperson and stumbled into my first role as a lead generation specialist, as like the early stage SDRs of today.
Is that right, man? You did the dirty work, huh? You got in and did it. Good for you.
Yeah. Started as a lead generation specialist, was promoted to account executive, and then eventually the director of sales in my first company. Left that and I started a recruiting firm in San Francisco back in 2010, focused on helping tech companies find top sales talent.
Yep.
And then decided that I was actually pretty, I was more excited about running teams. So I left and was a head of sales at a couple different venture-backed companies in San Francisco. Two have been acquired. One was Inc. 5000 during my stint there. And after my last sales leadership role, I kind of got back into this people problem because every team that I've built seemed to have the same problem. It's not just finding good people, but also trying to get those people up to speed and productive in their first 90 days. And so that's kind of where Sales Bootcamp comes into play. I started the company, actually a competitive company that was merged with Sales Bootcamp. It was called Inside Sales Bootcamp, where now we're just kind of trying to help solve that problem, finding great people and then getting those people productive in their first 90 days.
I love it. And certainly a big problem, no matter where you are. So it'll be fun to dive on in here. But before we do, love to see if we can catch off guard a little bit. Although I told you, so I guess I'm not catching off guard. Dang it. Outside of work, anything you're passionate about, embarrassing moments, fun things you're doing out there in the Bay Area?
Well, so one thing that's not as embarrassing this year, but you can see it on the video, is I'm a diehard Cougs fan.
Washington State Cougars. Yeah, man. I love it. Why not?
So most years that's embarrassing, but this year we're doing quite well. Upset USC last weekend. And
did you guys beat USC last weekend? I didn't see that. Oh, my goodness. Kudos. I saw you were playing it. It's the crazy coach up there, isn't it? Isn't that what's going on? What's his name?
Yeah, Mike Leach.
He had some kind of like rant about aliens or something, didn't he? I mean, something came across the came across the wire, if you will, and I was like, oh, there's Mike Leach doing his weird stuff again, but good for him. But hey, if you're winning games, you're winning games, man. Kudos. Don't worry, I follow a way worse football team. I won't even bring it up because we're 1-4 and I'm ticked about it. So well, let's move on to greener pastures. So let's talk about this concept of onboarding. You know, there's typically, as we were talking pre-show, couple things people are thinking about, right? They say, hey, let's go. We got to get the right people. We got to kind of get them hired, obviously, and then we got to get them onboarding. Where do you see kind of the biggest challenges as people start to think about this idea of bringing on top talent and then making sure that they're onboarded correctly?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. A lot of organizations, at least in the San Francisco Bay Area where I've spent my career, seem to think that just putting somebody into an organization, you know, listening in on a few calls and giving them a phone is going to help them be productive.
That's not working.
That can work if you have, you know, just rock star talent, but most folks aren't really you know, meant that way. And I think there's a stat out there, and don't quote me on this, but you know, I think 50% of folks, even if they were quota attaining at another organization, come into new roles and fail without proper enablement. And so, you know, what we find is that a lot of companies are starting to invest in this enablement, which is awesome to see. But a lot of organizations still haven't quite figured it out. And specifically for, you know, entry-level sales talent, there's a lot of things that individuals need to learn before they can actually go to market. And it's a big problem because most organizations that have the sales development function, these are your frontline reps. These are the reps that are talking to your future customers. This is their first experience engaging with your brand, your product or service.
Right.
And a lot of times these reps are not prepared for those conversations.
Hmm. Yeah. And do you feel like that there is, I mean, certainly when it comes to, I want to dive into just the onboarding piece a little bit here, but why is it that companies have just kind of always gone to the tried and true approach of, you know, here's a random book to read or shadow some reps? Why isn't it, why haven't companies really gone to this optimized place of really a structured or, you know, really tight onboarding process? Is it just because we're lazy, or what's the reason behind it?
I wouldn't say it's because we're lazy. I think a lot of it comes from the fact that many organizations are not led by folks with a strong sales background. A lot of companies have leadership that, you know, might be more technical focused or perhaps even marketing focused, and they don't really understand the art and science behind sales. Mm. And I think there's a a lot of folks seem to think of salespeople as almost like they can either do it or they don't. And they don't really think about the fact that it can be learned. And especially in the modern sales environment with all of these technologies that have emerged to help us be more efficient and effective, we can start to use data and follow a process and actually, you know, I believe that more and more people can be successful at sales. It's not, you know, do you have it or you don't have it. It is a learned process. And so, you know, you're finding more and more folks thinking about investment into the sales position, not just finding the right people, but trying to get those people productive in a more structured environment. So I don't think it's that companies are lazy. I just think it's a lack of understanding that this can be a learned craft, and you know, if you invest in your people, you'll see that incremental increase in productivity, effectiveness, and ultimately see your revenue grow exponentially. And more people are buying into it. It's just it's taking some time.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes things just take a little time and are a little slow. So as you try to paint a big picture for companies who want to bring on great people and then onboard them correctly or in a way that is more optimal, what advice would you give to a, you know, an audience or a group to start to think about an optimization around that process?
Yeah, I think a lot of companies jump really quickly into kind of what is our product. You know, there's a bunch of training on all the features and demo certifications, and there's a huge emphasis on making sure they know every little feature and functionality about what they do. But in reality, that's not really the most important learning that an individual needs to have to be successful in sales. To be successful in sales, you need to really know what's the problem that you're solving.
Yeah.
Why did your best customers come to you in the first place? Why do they continue to persist? What are some of the positive business outcomes that they've been able to get from your product or service?
Right.
And so what I kind of try to emphasize with the folks that we work with is actually starting with, you know, your best customers and going through this practice that I've taken from great author Mike Weinberg. He has a book called New Sales Simplified. It's this concept called a power statement.
Yeah. Okay.
And in a chapter in his book, he calls it sharpening your sales story. I think it's just a phenomenal starting point for anybody, even if you're already a senior seller, to go through. If you're starting in a new organization, or Jill Conrath does this in Agile Selling, Snap Selling as well, is start with your customer. What are those pain points? What are their key challenges? How are you addressing those? And if you can start to align your understanding of your business in the eyes and lens of your customers, you're going to have a lot more success once you go live than being a product savant. You know, we do X, Y, and Z. No one cares about that, right? How are we helping you? What are the big challenges that you have on a day-to-day basis? And what are some of the expected outcomes that we can receive by working with you versus not?
Yeah. Keeping kind of that end in mind. You're right. We always go product first rather than try to kind of go to pain first to see what problem we're trying to actually solve and maybe how the product fits into that. So we get certified on the demo, and then we really want to talk the demo. We probably don't want to talk the pain, and then customers want to talk about the pain. So that's number one. So really trying to refocus in that area. Any other kind of tidbits or places you'd point people to say, okay, you got to focus on kind of the pain of the customer first rather than just maybe the demo. What would be next in that line of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, once you know the pain and the individual, not just the companies, but the individuals within those companies. So you move from first and foremost crafting the right messaging. Then let's move into who cares about this messaging, right? What are the best accounts? So we, identifying this ideal account profile or customer profile. Let's start with those companies. And then within those companies, who cares about it? So who should be receiving this message? Who are our actual buyers? Who's feeling the pain the most within the organization? So that we know who to engage. So it moves from knowing the pain and then who within the market is the best to start with. I think a lot of companies struggle in the beginning with this targeting aspect, and they just start randomly selecting people to call on, accounts to call on, and they're not saying the right things because it's not going back to, again, a customer that they've already gained or a group of customers. So the next thing that I always try to emphasize is having really good account-based strategies, right? And it doesn't need to be what, you know, the Engagios or the highest spots of the world are kind of pushing out there as this whole account-based everything. It's just knowing who's a better fit for your company or not.
Yep.
That could be by size, industry, vertical, number of employees in a department, whatever that is. But let's start somewhere. And if someone's not in that list of accounts, don't talk to them yet. Because if you have terrible targeting, you then can't understand if it is your messaging that's off, that's not getting success, or perhaps maybe there's just not product market fit. So once you know what the pain is, let's then focus on the right accounts. That's the next piece that I would focus in on.
Got it. So you hit the pain. So hit pain first. And then why do you feel, do people seem to have a hard time figuring out kind of who their optimal or their target accounts are often when you're working with them? Or why are people not recognizing that they should or shouldn't kind of be hitting those more, you know, optimal customers?
That's a great question. I think that it's in some cases lack of understanding of kind of the appropriate way to go to market.
Yeah.
In some cases, the other is just not quite knowing and you know, kind of FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, we think that we can do this for everybody.
Yep.
And in reality, it's better to nail that niche, even if you can help companies with more than 50 employees. But right now, it's up to 50.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on the 50 first. So I think that there's this idea that we want to be so big, so fast, and a lot of folks miss out on the opportunity of nailing their niche first,
yep,
and then growing from there.
Yep.
That's kind of what I see a lot. And then the other piece is for your sales development reps in particular, if you're if you're having your reps select their accounts and you're not selecting them for them, that's a big mistake, because you can't expect someone who just learned the pain to be so good about who's the best accounts to go after. So I think those are the two areas that are missed quite a lot when it comes to account selection, is either one, they want to go too big too fast and they can help everyone, or two, they're letting folks that don't quite understand where their real niche is do that account selection.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you lick your finger and you just throw it up in the air when they go after it, which is sad, because, you know, companies obviously spend so much time on building great products. And if you don't find that market that actually needs it, then a lot of that goes to waste. So as you think about some of these concepts, how do you then start to build these into a tighter onboarding process? I want to try to bring this back to full circle. So, you know, you got to bring pain. You got to make sure that you teach people kind of your target audience. And again, the list goes on and on, but what is it about a great onboarding process that makes it more optimal? Is it just the formality of it, that you actually kind of, you know, you do it and you teach some of these best practices rather than just company history? Is it that you do more coaching? I mean, what are some of the points that make one thing good versus one thing bad?
I think that the thing that really helps differentiate a good process from a bad process is that it's not a one and done thing. Even if you have a internal boot camp where you're investing to fly reps out to your HQ, or they're supposed to go through a week or two or a month of training, it's not over at that point. There's this continued learning mindset that needs to come into play. And understand that the mastery of these subjects or the concepts or the topics that you're covering are going to take a lot more than, you know, being exposed to it in a classroom or over, you know, now there's sales enablement software. So just because you have the video doesn't mean they truly grasp the concept.
Right.
So how do you create ongoing learning opportunities within the group? And so what we do, you know, at Sales Bootcamp is we have weekly one-on-one personalized coaching sessions. Mm. They're attached to specific topics that we have over a 12 module program that covers a lot of these things that you should have, but we reinforce the topics through understanding where the reps at. So, you know, asking questions to see if they grasp the concept, and then a lot of just role play and practice, right? I mean, if you think about sales and especially inside sales, you're spending a lot of time on the phone. What better way to continue to learn and master the concept, even if they've been quote unquote certified? That doesn't mean you can't have learning moments by just quickly doing a mock calling session, helping them break into the call, helping them overcome standard objections that are happening, helping them have better asks, helping them understand the process over and over and over and over again until they feel really comfortable. And then, by the way, not stopping and doing it again, right? It's okay to, you know, one thing that I always like to tell young reps is, you know, when you're walking through the office, ask people, hey, what do we do? You know, hey, Gabe, what's inside sales?
Yeah.
Like, just ask that question and get feedback, hear how they're saying it, and then ask folks to ask you as you're walking by, so you can just keep practicing it and practicing it and practicing it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's nothing. Repetition, right? I mean, I probably took the words right out of your mouth, but that, I mean, that's key, is getting that repetition and making sure that you just keep speaking it, right? Keep doing it, et cetera.
That's right. And being exposed to those different experiences that are real, not the easy route, right? Be the kind of more hard to reach customer, then be the easier one, and practice that over and over and over again.
Interesting. So as you kind of bring this, you know, if you were in a group and you were talking to a handful of leaders, and if you had to just say, guys, if you want to optimize this whole onboarding thing, the three principles you've got to kind of nail down. I mean, it sounds like number one, you'd maybe move a little bit away from the technology. Don't just do demos. Make sure you first focus on pain. Number two is you've actually got to coach through probably some of this sales experience. Now, we dove just at one area really of optimal kind of target accounts, but there's something about teaching them the right way to approach, the right who to approach, et cetera. And then number three, it sounds like there's kind of this real discipline of, and I don't know, I mean, a lot of people like video, you know, a lot of people like to bring in different things, like you said, maybe fly out the team, but there's something about maybe just this one-on-one interaction that can really help people get the repetition, practice, figure out where they are, where they're not, and kind of keep pounding the same information in so that they're ready to hit the battlefield. Is that kind of a fair assumption, or what else would you add to that?
I mean, I think that's a really good 1, 2, 3, right? Move away, like, the product doesn't matter. I can't stress that enough.
That's a strong statement, but it's powerful. Yeah, it's powerful.
It just doesn't. Your customers, your prospective customers, really aren't buying your product. They're buying a solution to a problem they have. So you need to understand that first, and you really need to understand that, and you got to understand the market too. What are others doing, and how do you differentiate? Why you? And so that's one for sure. Then that niche element, as you said, you know, where is our, someone said this in the past, our power alley. Someone used to say that to me. Where's your power? Where's your power alley, right? What's your niche? Who are the types of customers that are the best fit for you now? Let's focus on those. And then how do we create this culture of learning and as a team, make ourselves better week over week, month over month, quarter over quarter, and never getting complacent, right? Having this always be learning mindset. And if you can do those things, you're going to be in a much better position than if you're not doing those things, that's for sure. The other thing there is, and I can't stress this enough, especially in the first, you know, 90 days to, you know, 6 months, understand that success comes in more ways than just hitting your specific numbers that have been outlined. Sometimes having targets that are related to failures and learning from those failures and how we're getting better and better and better is much more productive than, you know, did we set enough appointments?
Yeah. Kind of getting a little more creative about how you look at the success of the role and of the business. Well, Ryan, I appreciate it. I think it's a real interesting kind of topic, obviously big problem as we think about onboarding, as we think about bringing the right people on and then getting them ramped. If someone wanted to get in contact with you or learn a little bit more about Sales Bootcamp, what would be your recommendation?
Yes. Stop by our website, salesbootcamp.com. It's great if you're a rep wanting to kind of polish up your skills. We have a free program. Anyone can join from any time, from anywhere, anytime. It's 5-day online program, cool. Videos, resources, assessments. Feel free to check that out. If you're a company that's hiring SDRs, we've got a few pages dedicated there to how our program works, and love to have a chance to learn a bit more about your sales organization, the types of folks you're bringing on board, to see if we could help you out there. You know, salesbootcamp.com, or you can just shoot me an email or give me a call. If you go to my LinkedIn page, yeah, Ryan Reichert,
yeah, he's got his number on there.
My phone number is right there. Call me anytime. Happy to do some mock call sessions with you, give you feedback on your cold call.
Love it, man. Love it. All right. Well, with that, again, Ryan, thanks so much for joining. For the audience, remember, success is just one play away.